Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the ENCE first quarter 2016 results presentation. Ignacio Colmenares, CEO of the company, and Alfredo Avello, CFO of the company, will conduct this presentation. Please go ahead. Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our first quarter 2016 results conference call. I'm here today with our CFO, Alfredo Avello, and our IR team, Alberto Valdés and Rocío Recio. First, we will go through the presentation we have sent to you this morning. Then, we will be pleased to answer any questions you may have. Let's start with slide number three, which shows the highlights of the quarter. First of all, eucalyptus pulp demand maintained a very healthy growth of 8.5% during January and February. However, this has not been reflected in pulp prices, which have been affected by Chinese purchasing strategies and long fiber prices adjustment. Additionally, customers with contracted volumes have forced pulp purchases in the spot market, affecting our implied average discount. Today, we believe prices have already bottomed out. Secondly, let me also say that it has been a difficult quarter for our cash cost. This was affected by non-recurrent operational issues and by the Pontevedra maintenance shutdown. We have already seen improvements during March and April. Thirdly, our hedging strategies had a positive financial impact. In the first quarter of 2016, our net income was almost 44% higher than in the first quarter of 2015. We have continued our disposal of non-core assets. We have received down payments of 3.4 million euros for 30 million euros worth of assets. As a conclusion, it has not been an easy quarter for ENCE, but we are confident that our operating improvements will be more apparent during the rest of the year, and we believe pulp prices are bottoming out. Now, let's move to slide four. Pulp demand has showed resilience on the back of an increasingly important Asian middle class, whose consumption grows faster than increases in production. As you can see, globally, eucalyptus pulp demand grew by 8.5% during the first 2 months of the year, accelerating from 7% during last year. We believe eucalyptus pulp demand is not an issue. However, pulp prices have been affected negatively by long fiber price adjustments and by Chinese purchasing policies, which have forced LatAm producers to reduce prices. We believe that we have already seen prices bottoming out. As you can see in slide five, current hardwood price levels in China should force the most expensive producers to stop their mills. If you go to slide number six, you will see that the gap between long fiber and short fiber prices is back to its long-term average. As you know, the price of long fiber has started to rise again. The price of short fiber will rise too in the next months. Very important, today in China, spot prices are already $10 higher than peak prices. It was not the case a week ago. The balanced supply-demand structure of the pulp market makes us think that although short-term issues have affected prices, the increase in demand should force a positive trend in the medium and long term. I would like to remind you the drivers of demand and pulp prices. Firstly, there is no pulp overcapacity in China. The demand for tissue and premium packaging is still growing in Asia, despite the deceleration of industrial growth. Demand growth will be followed by investments, but it will be a gradual process. Investors in new pulp factories come within the industry and select the size and timing of projects with care. Financial conditions in emerging markets have worsened significantly. This will clearly affect financing new pulp investments in the region. 50% of the European pulp market is still long fiber. 80% of long fiber can be substituted by eucalyptus fiber, which is, as you know, much more competitive. There is a solid demand for eucalyptus pulp related to the growth of tissue consumption, premium packaging, and specialties, not only in Asia, but also in the West. Prices have been affected in the short term, but I am confident that the drivers of future growth remain. Let's move on to slide 7, where we explain the increase in our cash cost during the quarter, and especially versus the fourth quarter 2015. As we announced in a meeting with investors in February, we had a big problem with our turbine in Pontevedra. We have had to use fuel oil during more than 1 month, affecting ENCE's cash cost by more than 10 euros in the quarter. Today, the problem is 100% solved. The first quarter also saw annual maintenance stop in Pontevedra, not shown in the fourth quarter of 2015. It has affected the cash cost by 4 euros per ton. In Navia, there were also extraordinary operating issues with the startup of new equipment. Cash cost was affected by 3 euros per ton during the quarter. Finally, a lower dilution of overhead costs due to the lower sales volume has impacted the cash cost by 2 euros per ton. As you know, our main objective is to reduce cash cost. The quarter has been difficult, but the data we are seeing now confirm that we are on the right path after all these issues have been solved. We are confident that we will be able to reach our cash cost targets in the remaining quarters. Currently, we are seeing cash costs for April and May below fourth quarter 2015 levels. Let me say also a few words about Pontevedra on the next slide. We were granted an extension of the concession for 60 years during the quarter. The process followed all legal procedures. Our view is that it cannot be revoked. However, the current political situation is reverberating entirely against ENCE's will. All the initiatives that some political parties are proposing, like the non-legislative proposal, are political declarations without any legal effect. Our plan for Pontevedra is clear. We want to make it one of the best plants in Europe, and we will invest 135 million euros in it. This will include a 31 megawatt biomass plant. During 2016, we have to complete all the permitting processes for the investments. They should be finalized by the end of the year. We will not commit any investments until they are finished. By then, the Spanish political environment should be clear. All these investments are beneficial for Pontevedra. We believe that when the dust has settled, everybody will agree on this. Let's move on to slide number 9 to remind you of our biomass business development strategy. In Spain, as I have just mentioned, we think the best place to invest is in a new 31 megawatt plant in Pontevedra. Our international investments are progressing very well. In Chile, we have already identified several projects that could qualify in the PPA auction that will take place at the end of July and that meet all our investment requirements. In Colombia, we are moving at a slower speed. We have already identified a potential project to work with our local partners. In India, we want to be extremely prudent. We want to take our time to better understand the biomass fuel market, and we will keep you informed of any new developments. In slide 10, I would like to highlight our agreement to sell energy crops land for a total amount of 30 million euros with estimated capital gains of 12 million. Additionally, we are at the final stages of negotiation for the sale of some of our non-core industrial assets at estimated book value. This quarter has been very good for our divestment and continues the strategy initiated last year to reduce non-core assets after Huelva's mill closure. To finalize this part of the presentation, I would like to stress our attractive shareholder remuneration policy, which amounted to €1.44 per share for the year. We believe we can maintain this policy in the future, and I can confirm it will not compromise our growth capacity nor stretch our balance sheet. Now, I would like to let our CFO explain our business results in more detail.
Thank you, Ignacio. As previously mentioned by our CEO, our first quarter results shown in slide 13 reflects the operating one-offs mainly concentrated in our Pontevedra mill, as well as the downturn trend in pulp prices during the period. Despite this situation, and although total revenues were 3.9% lower than those of first quarter 2015, this difference has been compensated at the net result level with lower financial costs, mainly driven by the positive mark-to-market of our FX hedging policy, as well as lower interest costs as a consequence of the financial restructuring process implemented by the company during 2015. Coming down to the pulp business in slide 14, our northern mill sales were almost €130 million. Breaking down these business revenues by components, pulp ones were in line with those of first Q15, where the impact of the almost 2,900 less tons sold have been fully compensated by higher average prices. Main negative impact come from our energy sales related to the pulp business, which were lower due to the one-offs focused in our Pontevedra cogen plant. Megawatts sold in first Q16 were 154,000 compared to 170,000 in first Q15. And pulp prices were also lower, attaining 67.5 versus 82.8 of first Q15. The third and last component of these business revenues are our forestry sales to third parties coming from our southern plantations previously linked to our now shut down Huelva mill, that increased from €2.6 million up to €5.5 million this quarter. Following our pulp business P&L and turning into page 15, the adjusted EBITDA kept in line with that of first Q15, while the EBIT grew by 27% from €11 million up to €14 million. When looking at 4Q15 and its comparison with the first quarter of 2016, despite the mentioned one-offs, the plant shutdown in Pontevedra during March explains half of the difference, while lower prices explains the remaining half. Non-recurring expenses for the quarter are mainly explained by the said operating one-offs. Interest costs were 21.3% lower, explained by the financial restructuring implemented during 2015 and materialized in last October with a new bond issuance, which also extended the maturity up to the end of 2022. Additionally, the quarter has also benefited, as said, from the mark-to-market of our FX hedging structure by a net figure of almost €6 million. Incorporating all the previous effects, net profits for the quarter grew by 82.6% compared to those of first Q15, attaining €12 million. Let's turn now into slide 16 for the pulp business cash flow. Recurring free cash flow increased up to €9.7 million compared to first Q15, thanks to the better working capital behavior by €8 million, mainly due to the payments related to the Huelva mill shutdown during the first quarter of 2015. Also, after the last October bond issuance, new calendar for interest payments affecting €6.7 million has been moved from the first quarter into the second. Maintenance capex were in line with those of the previous quarter, while the efficiency and capacity increases well accounted for 6.4 million euros, mainly related to the Navier 20,000 tons in capacity increase implemented in June 2015. Also, during the quarter, we have entered into new promissory contracts for the sale of 1,305 hectares of former energy crops under our extraordinary disposal program. We have cashed some over 3 million euros in advances, and we expect to finally execute the sales during the third quarter of this year once the necessary land segregations are registered. As previously expressed, this should account for approximately 12 million euros in capital gains. These sales represent a very positive advance in the execution of our asset disposal program, which we expect to continue pushing with success along the year, also on our industrial assets. Now, turning to our energy business, and following with slide 17, production sold to the grid was lower by 16.9% due to the company's decision to reduce the generation during the quarter because of lower than usual fuel prices. Since there is a maximum annual generation limit of 6,500 hours per year, ENCE has to decide the highest fuel price period to operate its biomass plants, therefore maximizing their returns. The first quarter has been driven by high hydro and wind generation, pushing pool prices down, being a less attractive generating period for our energy business. These revenues should be recouped along the year when higher prices are met. Also, as you may know, the company has implemented a rolling on hedging program over pool prices, currently accounting for almost 57% of the production for the second and third quarter of 2016, as well as 20% for the fourth quarter of the year, at average prices of 41, 46, and 42 euros per megawatt hour, respectively. Following with the energy business P&L on slide 18, EBITDA accounted for 7.7 million euros due to the said management decision of reducing the generation during the quarter. Below the EBITDA level, results have also benefited from lower interest costs as a consequence of the refinancing process of the project finance facilities achieved last year, as well as lower intercompany expenses after the separation of our businesses, pulp and energy, being the final net profit standing at the 2 million euro level for the period. Let's turn into slide 19 for this business cash flow. Recurrent free cash flow accounted for 1.8 million euros, some lower than the figure achieved during first quarter 15, caused mainly by the tax return of 8.1 million euros cash in such 15 period. Once adjusted by such effect, total difference is explained by ENCE's management decision to reduce generation during this quarter due to the lower prices. Maintenance capex reached 0.6 million euros compared to 1.5 million in first quarter 15, in line with our expectations. Ending free cash flow for this business reached 1.6 million euros for the period. Now, ending with slide 20, our consolidated net debt remained almost at the same level we had at the end of the previous quarter, while the liquidity available increased up to 262 million euros. The company maintains a fixed-rate long-term debt profile, attending an LTM net debt to adjusted EBITDA ratio of 1.2 times on a consolidated basis, being 1.1 times for the pulp business and 1.7 for the energy business, well below the announced ratio limits of 2.5 and 5 for the respective business. Ladies and gentlemen, now let me pass again the lead of the presentation to our CEO.
Thank you, Alfredo. Finally, let me remind you the main highlights of our quarter results. Eucalyptus demand has maintained a very healthy growth at 8.5% during January and February, although it has not been reflected in pulp prices. Prices are already bottoming out. Today, spot prices in China are already higher than peak prices. In second quarter, we expect lower spot volumes. Our cash cost was affected by non-recurrent operational issues and by the Pontevedra maintenance shutdown. We maintain our cash cost targets for second, third, and fourth quarter. We are currently achieving cash cost levels below those of fourth quarter last year. Our FX hedging strategies have had a positive financial impact. Our net income has increased by almost 44% versus the first quarter 2015. Our non-core assets disposals have continued successfully. During 2016, we have to complete all the permitting process for the investments for Pontevedra. We will not commit any investment until it is finished. By then, the Spanish political environment should be clear. In conclusion, our operating improvements will show better results during the rest of the year, and we believe the pulp price has already bottomed out. Thank you very much. We are now open to your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Q&A session starts now. If you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you. The first question comes from José Rito from BPI. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon to all. My first question on pulp discounts. On my numbers, discounts reach more or less 24% in the quarter, in a period in which also pulp prices have been declining. Shouldn't we expect a decline on these discounts due to the fact that the contracts were based on higher prices versus peaks? And what is your expectation for discounts in 2016? My second question on the view for the pulp prices in this year, what is your expectation? Because I remember in the previous conference call you were saying flat prices average versus previous years. And also, why do you think that pulp prices have been bottom out? What is the level, current level? Do you think this is already a bottom? And also related with this, are you seeing an acceleration in pulp demand already in Europe or in China or even in the West? Because certainly the industry is increasing. So what is the driver for better utilization rates? Because for me, that should be the driver for pulp prices going forward. And last question on current consensus EBITDA, which according to what I saw in Bloomberg was at 185 million for this year. What do you think of this level? Thank you.
Sorry, Jose, could you repeat your last question, please?
Yes, what you think of current consensus EBITDA for this year, which is at 185 million.
Yeah, thank you very much for your three questions. Yeah, regarding the first question, we had, let's say, 95% of our sales under contract. And we have two kinds of contracts. We have contracts where the price is linked to the peak's price and customers and the supplier. We are allowed, we have a margin of 10% in what we do on the volume. And we have contracts for the year where the price has to be agreed month by month. And then we have 5% on spot business. When prices are going down, like it was the case in the second part of January and February and in March, you can find on the market spot prices far below the peak price. Those prices were, during this first quarter, sometimes even $100 of difference between the peak price and the spot price. What happens then? Customers with contracts, with prices linked to the peaks, they take profit of this 10% margin and they order less volume against the peaks. And they try to purchase on the free market at spot prices. And customers, where you have contracted volumes for the year, but where you have to negotiate price on a monthly basis, when the market is a market of buyers, they don't care about peaks, and they force you to buy at almost spot prices. That is the reason why our implied average discount was close to 25% during the first quarter, when we only had increased discounts by 1 or 2 points in the contracts we agreed for 2016. We expect that when prices will start to go up, it will be the reverse situation. That is not new. That has happened always on this industry. When prices are going down, customers try to buy more on spot, and when prices are going up, customers try to buy 100% on peaks. Regarding...
Just to clarify, so the discounts for this year, where do you see the discounts for the average in the year?
Yeah, the nominal discounts we have in our contracts are between 1 and 2 points higher than the nominal discount we had last year in our contracts. What has distorted the situation is that the customers have been buying more on spot than several months ago. And that is going to change as the price, like it has done, stops to decline. According to the market fundamentals, prices shouldn't be as low as they are now. It is very important. Eucalyptus pulp demand has been growing 7% last year and 8% in January and February. There is no fundamental reason for this declining of prices. It seems that Chinese purchasing policy has played an important role. Buying pulp first in Chile and then in North America on last quarter last year, stopping buying to Brazil and forcing Brazilian producers to reduce prices, not only in Asia, but also in Europe. But this game has a limit, because fundamentals are there. The current price levels limit the supply of pulp of less efficient factories, as I mentioned before, especially in Asia, where the estimated average cash cost is between $380 and $610 per ton for the short fiber producers, affecting over 2 million tons of installed capacity. On top of that, the price gap between long fiber and short fiber is now again at its long-term average for the past 10 years, rising from lows near $10 per ton in January 2016 to near $90 per ton currently. This is providing support for increasing demand for short fiber in the coming months. Additionally, several long fiber producers, as you know, have recently announced $20 per ton pulp increase as from April. And what is the most important, today in China, this week in China, for the first time in the last 5 months, spot prices are already above peak prices, both for hardwood and for softwood. Regarding our estimations for free cash flow and EBITDA, at those price levels of today and with the cash cost we are pretty sure we can have during the year. We see today a minimum EBITDA for the full year of €140 million if prices don't move up during the full year, and I'm pretty confident prices will move up because pulp prices or they go down or they go up, and today what is almost clear is that they have bottomed out. And with this level of prices and this level of EBITDA, we see a free cash flow generation after dividend and after expansion capex of 70 to 80 million euros. Thank you, Jose.
Just a follow-up on your view on the fundamentals in Chinese productions. Have you noticed any or any announcement of Chinese shutting down capacity? And also related to that, if you think that pulp prices go up, why the Chinese should decide to shut up new capacities or shut down capacity?
Well, because at the prices of today in China, almost 50% of Chinese capacity is not competitive. I don't think prices will continue going down. But if they were at $20 less than the prices of today, a lot of Scandinavian and Canadian softwood capacity is not competitive. Then what we see is that prices have today bottomed out. And normally they will take several weeks before they go up. During this period, some capacities in China will be shut down temporarily, and then prices will go up. And it is very important that we have today a gap between softwood and hardwood of $90 per ton. That means that we have movement and place to move up. Thank you, Jose.
Okay, thank you.
Any other question, please?
The next question comes from Pablo Ayuso from Santander. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good evening. I only have one question, briefly, on the 40 megawatts of new capacity award in Spain. I wonder if you have taken any final decision, and if not, is there any kind of legal deadline for you to proceed? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pablo. We have already earmarked the location that allows us to achieve our targeted 10% equity return, and this is in the Pontevedra mill. Other potential locations are at present less attractive. More specifically, we are contemplating the installation of a 31 megawatt biomass plant, assuming all the permits are obtained during 2016. But first, we need political stability to have a clear path for all these investments we need to do in the plant. Note, Pablo, that we are aiming at a 31 megawatt biomass plant rather than the 40 megawatt plant awarded, and this is because a 30 megawatt plant allows us to maximize synergies with the Pontevedra facility and to minimize fuel costs. Thank you, Pablo.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Jonathan Goble from Tankman Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon. Thank you for doing the call. Two questions, please. The first one is about the intersegment transfer of debt between pulp and energy that you mentioned on page 11 of the earnings report. Could you tell us a little bit more about that and whether that gets to reverse, or is it a reversal of a prior cash flow? The second one is about the Pontevedra concession and the political situation. Does the political situation risk running into your ability to get permits, as mentioned, during 2016?
Yeah, thank you very much, Jonathan. I will start your second question, and then Alfredo will answer you your first question. Yeah, as you know, we received the confirmation of the extension of the Pontevedra concession for 60 years on the 20th of January. Now we have to complete the permitting process for these investments. We should be finalized by the end of the year, by the end of 2016. We think that by this time, the current political storm will be over in Spain.
Right, but my question is whether the political situation can inhibit the permitting process. Can the politicians put pressure on the people who are awarding the permits and frustrate that for you?
Well, we have two different permits. We have the concession for 60 years, and that cannot be revoked. And we have the environmental permit and the urbanistic permit to raise this 31 megawatt power plant and to increase slightly the capacity in Pontevedra and to do all the payback for investments we have already done in Navia and we have not yet done in Pontevedra. 90% of those environmental permits are given by the local authorities of Galicia, the local government of Galicia. There are elections in November in Galicia. Today we have no problem at all with the party ruling Galicia, and we have started to do all the permitting process for all that. The urbanistic permits have to be given by the city of Pontevedra. In the city of Pontevedra, we have a nationalist party who is, let's say, against We Are There. Then, today what we see is that we may have problems with this 31 megawatt biomass power plant, because it's a large building, it's a large, big, new activity. We don't see any problems regarding the small investments in increasing 30,000 tons the volume of Pontevedra, because we don't have to invest in any new big machine or in any new big warehouse. It's just to improve some parts of the machinery with little capex in order to debottleneck some parts of the process. And we will not have any problem nor with these investments with 4 years' time payback. Is that clear?
That's helpful. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now, Alfredo will answer you about your first question.
Yeah, regarding the intercompanies between energy and pulp, remember that last year we were trying to separate both businesses. The links between both businesses on an operating way of looking at it were basically twofold and not really big. One of it was the G&A that was concentrated on the pulp business and was invoiced into the energy, basically the typical charges that you need to account. And two, some biomass selling, when we were harvesting some of our plantations, some biomass sales into the energy business. But that is not the important thing, okay? The two important things that have been impacting more our accounts during this quarter and that will or should end during the second quarter is the final separation of the assets that were still some of them at the pulp business and that could not be transferred without some acceptance from the regional governments that were giving some grants to those assets. Once we got, because we already have those acceptance, we are finalizing the separation of the businesses. The second thing that impacted on this intercompany is that within ENCE Energía ENCE Loza, within the whole group, there's only one agent representing the company in front of the energy authorities, in front of the CNMC. What this means? This means that there is only one company that is invoicing the CNMC for all the electricity produced by the group. Not only the biomass generation, but also the cogeneration within the pulp business. Previously, that agent was set at the ENCE Energía level, at the energy group. Now that agent has been transferred into the pulp business because it's the holding company, ENCE Energía ENCE Loza. So the final intercos are, as I'm saying, clearing up. We expect to finalize this process, as I'm telling you, within this quarter after we have all the acceptances of moving the assets from the regional authorities.
And will that result in a reversal of that cash flow between the businesses back in the favor of the pulp side?
It will mean that both businesses, we are not reversing any cash flow from one side and into the other. It was basically intercompanies that were owned by the other. What you will see is that along the year, there should be only intercourse related to the normal operations, meaning this, basically, some biomass sales from the pulp into the energy and the intercompany sales back and forward of the energy invoices into the CNMC. So that should be lowering down.
But there is no transfer.
No, there's no cash flow transfer.
From one to the other.
Correctly, this is just a setting.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Jonathan. Next question, please.
The next question comes from Nuno Stasio from Itaú Bank. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Just a couple of questions. The first one on in terms of the capex that you gave at your investor day, a large part of
No. Yeah. We have a problem. Your line is interrupted by strange noises.
Is this better now?
It is better. It seems it is, yes.
Okay. So the first one on CapEx, what you gave at your investor day, is this going to be postponed, the part of Pontevedra, because of this delay in terms of getting all the permits and due to the political uncertainty? That would be the first one. The second question would be on the new biomass investments. It seems that you have chosen Chile already for your first investment. If you get the PPA, you are going to go ahead with the investment immediately. And are Colombia and India possibilities on top of that? And the final question on your cash costs. Because I think your target for the full year is below 350, and considering what you have done in the first quarter and your indications that April and May are below, do you think you can do the average of 344 for the full year, or it would be the level of cash cost that you would arrive at the end of the year? Thank you.
No, I start by the last question because it's the easiest one to answer, and I don't want to forget. What has happened on the first quarter has already happened, and I'm afraid we have not the capacity to reverse that with lower cash costs in second, third, and fourth quarter than the ones we are already budgeted. But the ones who are budgeted, and you know because they are in our strategic plan, we are going to achieve them on the second, third, and fourth quarter. Regarding CapEx, today what we see is that we are going to have a CapEx, a maintenance CapEx, in Pontevedra, in Navia, of around 17 million euros. We are going to have a CapEx in Pontevedra, no matter what happens with the politicians, of 7 million euros. We are going to have a CapEx in Navia of 24 million euros, as it was expected at the beginning. And that means that the CapEx is slightly lower than the one we forecasted at the beginning. And regarding our new biomass developments, as we announced during our investor day, we have, as you know, an ambitious plan to develop biomass power plants in certain countries. We are today doing already a due diligence process in Chile, and we have a specific project who is going to go to the PPA tender in July. If this company wins the PPA at the prices we have agreed, we will buy, let's say, during third quarter. Regarding Colombia, our partner wants to invest on a series of 20 megawatt biomass power plants. They are here on 2 weeks' time. We will study that carefully. It will take 4-6 months until we take a decision, and we will not invest this year. If we like this program, we will start that during 2017, but nothing has yet started. And in India, we have decided to start by the biomass fuel. In India, as you all know, 5,000 megawatts of biomass were installed on the last 5 years, 50% of them linked to the cogeneration of the sugar industry, and they are working well, and the other 50% with independent biomass power plants with a fuel of agri-waste. 80% of them were forced to shut down, either because the CapEx was not good, either because they have not enough water, or mainly because they have not enough fuel. Then we see India, a fantastic country to develop biomass energy, because in Chile, if everything goes well, maybe in 5 years' time we can do 120, 130 megawatt. In India, if everything goes well, maybe we can do 2,000 megawatt. But we have to be very slowly. We have to understand very well the market. We have to secure very well the biomass fuel. And then we have decided that during 2016 and 2017, we are going to work only on the agri-waste. We are doing due diligence to try to buy a small company doing trading of agri-waste in two states of India. It will be an investment of $2 million, $3 million maximum if we decide to buy that. And we don't want to do any energy investment in India before 2018, because before we want to control in the areas where we want to invest the fuel. Thank you, Nuno.
Thank you. And just a follow-up on a very simple question, which is, can you explain us what operation, what is underlying for your gain in terms of hedging of 6 million euros, just to understand if this might happen again or not? Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, Nuno, Alfredo will give you the answer.
Yeah, Nuno. You know we are using tunnels, and at the end these are options, right? We are obliged to value, to mark-to-market those FX hedging every month. The way of valuing these options is twofold. On one side, you have the intrinsic value of the option. On the other side, you have the time value of the option. The intrinsic value of the option is the difference between the underlying price and the strike price. It is basically the value of exercising all the structure right now. And any of this difference, which right now accounts for around 250,000 euros, are accounted in the balance sheet, not in the P&L. On the other side, you have the time value of the option, which basically is the premium any investor would pay over its current exercise value based on the probability that its value will increase before expiration. In this case, volatility is an important component of this calculation. If you come down to our structures, you remember that we are with a floor of around 106, 107, and a ceiling of 115. The dollar has been playing around 114 with a lot of volatility on the top side. So that increases the value of my assets. That increases the possibility that in the future these options will be exercised and therefore benefited. That is what you have in the P&L. If on the other side it would happen the opposite, I mean a lot of volatility on the downside, on the floor side, it will be losses in that part. Okay? If you have no volatility, things will be also lower on both aspects. In any case, there's two ways of accounting this. There are companies that account this mark-to-market above EBITDA within your operating EBITDA. We have decided not to do that and to account it under financial cost. So you have that completely separated.
That's very clear. Makes total sense. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nuno. As you know, that is not cash.
No.
Yes. Yes, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions, please?
Ladies and gentlemen, we remind you in order to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. The next question comes from Alberto Garrido from Albank. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. I just have one quick question. It's related to volumes. I said that the volumes has been, the sales volumes has been lower than production volumes. I just wonder why. And the second one would be, is this because you don't have enough inventories to compensate this lack of production, or was most, or the reason why was more related to the demand?
Yeah, Alberto, the market has been tough during first quarter, as you know. We have been producing on the first quarter 219,000 tons, and we have sold 217,000 tons. That means that we have stopped 2,000 tons. It is not dramatic, but mm-hmm. The only reason is because the market has been tough.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
The next question comes from Alberto Sanchez from Fidentiis. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, good afternoon. I've got a couple of questions on cash costs. The first one if you could quantify what would be the wood cost reduction over the next few quarters as a result of the lower pulp price. That is the first question. The second one is about your cash cost targets for the full year. Even if we ignore what has happened in Q1, my question would be whether the cash cost reduction expected in Pontevedra was considering some of the investments that haven't taken place given the delays in obtaining the mill extension. If we should expect any slowdown in the path of the cash cost reduction that you mentioned at the Investor Day, or if it is not the case. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Alberto. Yeah. Regarding wood prices and the price of the pulp, the link between pulp prices and wood prices is working. It will be more visible in our second quarter results, as we have already applied the first euro adjustment in March, following the Forex price performance, and we will apply another one in May. Remember, these adjustments occur every time the average price of the previous month drops more than 50 euros, which has happened in February, below 700 euros per ton, and in April, again, below 650. It means that, and it is public because it is in our website, the price of the wood is reduced by 1 euro every time the price of the pulp, according to Forex, is reduced by 50 euros per ton. So, we have applied the first euro discount in March, after the decrease in February of this step of 50 euros, with a time lag of 1 month, and we will apply the second euro discount in May. I hope the pulp price will not be reduced again, and then we will not have to do any further reduction. You have to remember that every single euro reduction in wood price means 3 euros reduction in pulp cash costs. Regarding your second question, our cash cost target today for second quarter is 355 euros per ton, is 350 for third quarter, and below 350 for fourth quarter. Regarding Pontevedra, Pontevedra was performing extremely well on the second half of last year, with the exception of this month and a half with this dramatic problem with the turbine. Pontevedra is performing very well, and today we're saying that although we are not investing what we thought we were going to invest, the cash cost of Pontevedra in second, third, and fourth quarter is going to be very, very similar to our budget and to our strategic plan. Thank you, Alberto.
Okay, great. Many thanks.
There are no further questions in the conference call. Thank you.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. We see you in 3 months' time with the better results.